Welcome to the Campfire Committee, Outside and Fireside, a podcast to explore and discover the joy of camping and being in the great outdoors.
I'm Allison Logan.
And I'm Steph Pavan. We're your hosts.
This season, we're stepping up our camping game and going beyond the basics. Whether you're an expert camper or you're new to all of this, we're creating a camping community to share the many lessons and stories, tips and tricks, and all the fun that comes with getting outside and fireside.
We're bringing you into the world of camping and inviting you to join the Campfire Committee community. Remember to download, subscribe, and follow us on social at the Campfire Committee so you don't miss an episode or any new fun bits.
This podcast is about camping, and though we camp primarily in Ontario, we would like to recognize the Indigenous past, present, and future with a land acknowledgement for Toronto, where we live and make this podcast.
We recognize that we are on the traditional territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabeg, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples, and this city is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people.
We also acknowledge that Toronto is covered by Treaty 13, signed by the Mississaugas of the Credit, and the Williams Treaty, signed with multiple Mississaugas and Chippewa bands.
We always aim to grow our understanding of and respect for the diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people in Toronto, Ontario, and Canada. And we seek to forge better relationships and celebrate this land with those whom have historically called this place their home as we visit these places to camp. And we encourage our listeners to do the same.
Now, let's light this campfire.
Welcome to our final episode of season two.
Yeah! On today's episode, we are moving away from a particular topic and getting to know more about our thoughts, opinions, and some memories that we have on a variety of camping-related questions. Our favorite campgrounds, top items on our packing list, the things we've forgotten, and more.
We are answering a bunch of questions for this Outside and Fireside episode.
Now, as much as we could very easily sit and discuss this amongst ourselves for hours, we did say that this is also about getting some of our extended Campfire Committee family involved too. So, who do we have joining us today?
She's got more camping experience under her belt than either of us. Our collective camping years can't beat her. But she's our camping mentor, guru. She camps like a mother.
Well, I mean, she is my mother.
True, true. At the end of the day, I think we can confidently say that she is the biggest camping aficionado I know. You know, we know. And after two seasons, she's become well-known to all of our listeners as Camper Sue.
Yay! Welcome, Camper Sue.
Thanks for joining. So happy to be here.
Yay! Thank you for joining us for this first Outside and Fireside episode with you. We know a lot about each other's camping opinions and must-haves, but we've never actually sat down and really chatted about these things together in this kind of way. So, to kick things off, we're going to go ahead and pick our first question out of our trusty little camping cooler.
But before we do, make sure you send us or DM us your questions for future Outside and Fireside episodes. And make sure you share your thoughts and opinions as well.
Drum roll, please.
All right, up first, we've got... Oh, geez. Okay. Which parks do you think are the best for backcountry camping? Either from experience or your general thoughts about it.
Okay, so this was a hard one for me to answer because I've not done a lot of backcountry camping personally, so I had to be a little bit imaginative here. I think the two places I have gone are probably bucket list places, like top places in Ontario, being Algonquin and the French River.
Yeah, I'd say.
French River we did a few years back, and it's got some particular issues of its own, like you can just get a permit to go in there and camp, and yet there isn't necessarily going to be a campsite for you. And that was a problem we had. We couldn't get a campsite, so we had to sort of make a campsite out of a already partly not official made campsite.
So maybe not on the top of the list. Well, but
I wrote a letter way back when saying, you know, something needs to be done to make this better. Maybe it has. I don't know. We haven't tried to book there. But we were 14 people.
Yeah, that's tough, though.
Which, in theory, needed two campsites, which we were well aware of, but we couldn't even find one. So that was a bit of a problem. But we ended up on a beautiful spot for the nights we were there.
I would totally agree about Algonquin, though. That would be at the top of my list, I think, from mm-hmm. experience and just in general. I mean, Algonquin, I think, is like the one of the head honchos,
yes.
if not just in Ontario, Canada.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
the world for like interior backcountry paddle in sites and things. Like just the ability to, like, you could go in there and be gone for a whole years.
Season. Yeah. like, yeah. And yeah. people do. So Algonquin absolutely was on the top of the list. Victor agreed with Algonquin as well. I also had Killarney.
I did say Killarney as well, but I've never been.
Okay, so we've done backcountry in Killarney. Killarney is also big for hiking. You can do the La Cloche Silhouette Trail and
the crack.
The crack.
Yeah, the crack's a day hike, but you could go out there backpacking.
They have backpacking yeah, hiking trails. Yeah, yeah.
right.
As well as Frontenac. Frontenac, you can go backpacking in as well.
You know where you can as well? Sleeping Giant. And I would love to. They've got like over 100 kilometers of trails. You can do that whole peninsula.
Oh, nice.
Backcountry.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. yeah.
We were thinking of these questions. I didn't even, like, Frontenac didn't cross my mind, which is just crazy that that didn't cross my mind for backcountry because, yeah, that's huge for backcountry.
Well,
there.
That's all it is backcountry.
That
there,
is.
Right?
Well, and I did think of Kawartha Highlands, which is. I think
also,
it's yeah. just backcountry as well, and it's newer. So I'm like intrigued and would like to test it out and try it out. But
Natasha
I would say,
and Mike have done it a few times.
Okay, backcountry besties, giving mm-hmm. it a go.
Yeah, and the other one I don't think you could overlook is Massasauga. You mm. know, it's all paddling. If you don't want to portage, you can get out onto the bay. You can do inland lakes where you have some portaging to do, but you can get out on the bay and you could go for a good long 10-day trip. Without having to ever portage. So it's another good place to go.
Okay. But
what bay?
Georgian Bay.
Thank you. For those of us that don't know. Didn't know what bay you're talking about. yeah, Killarney's up there for me. I really want to get to Killarney.
Yeah.
yeah. But tried last year, couldn't. We'll see.
Well, the George Lake Campground's almost impossible to get into unless you happen to have a friend who has an extra site and says, oh, gee, do you want it? And then you have to go, no, I'm already going to be off in Algonquin doing something. So
that's where I tried to get George Lake Campground. Yeah. Impossible for the first leg of the road trip. But ended up somewhere else.
All right. Should we move on to the next question?
Yeah, let's try another one.
Okay. Do you want to pick it out of our cooler?
I sure do. All right. This is a good place. This should have been maybe number one. But anyways. What was your first real camping memory or experience?
First camping memory. Like, I think I'm too small to actually have a fully formed memory. I have snippets of things. Like, we had the property up on Georgian Bay that did have
a trailer
yep. on it. So that's camping.
Yep.
But it's like in my brain, I have like a memory of going into the water with one of my parents and just the dog going past and going first. and so it's like, that's definitely a their memory where I know I was at like a toddler. And then also from there is the going to like the potty, but like there was like we had like an outdoor potty, but like then I had my baby potty, I think, like the smaller one that like nearby. Like,
Sue, please confirm.
And maybe I made that memory up.
Maybe a little enhanced memory, but you know, it's all good.
No, and then the other one that does stick out is just the color of the green canvas in that first tent trailer that was like painted white inside, I believe, and then had green canvas is just that color of green then that shines through in the sunlight.
Yeah. Yep.
Is just that. Like there's no memory attached to it, but again, these are the snippets of little baby Allison with
Yeah, you so have to go way back for that.
You would have been 5-ish, and that was our first tent trailer, which was a 1996 Eaton Viking 1996.
I was no. going to say, I was it not was not.
It was a 1968 Eaton Viking.
Those are two very different numbers.
Jump back a few more decades or going way back.
Yeah,
to-
yeah. So we bought that from our friend Phil's parents, and it really was... two plywood arms that folded out for the beds and canvas that went on top of it. So it really was a tent. It just got you off the ground. But we towed that thing all the way up to Sault Ste. Marie and we camped at Pancake Bay when Dan would have been turning 2.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was
it applied 30
years ago. And that was also the first time I ever drove towing the tent trailer.
Oh,
was on that trip. I didn't do that before. Then that was his job. Since then, I've done thousands of kilometers.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
Yes. So my first camping memory is back, Terracotta Conservation Area used to have campground in it. And we would go there and we would stay for usually the month of June. My dad was going to summer school at University of Toronto. It's a teacher's college. No, not teacher's college. Sorry. Finishing his degree. And my mom would go up there with us for 4 weeks. And he would come up on the weekends, but we would stay up there and we would camp. And it's funny you say, you had little snippets of memory. My mother making those instant mashed potatoes.
Ew.
Which,
sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally gross, right?
Yeah.
But we would have those. And I remember my brother Joe fishing, because he lived for fishing up there. And my dad fanning the campfire with, I think it was called an Arnold Palmer bucket hat, but it was like this, you know, camp hat that he wore, and he would fan the fire with it. So that was before the days where you had all your Rubbermaid lids, right? Mm-hmm. That now you fan the fire with.
Where is Terracotta Conservation? Oh, that's a mouthful.
It's just outside of Georgetown.
Okay.
You and I hiked up there.
Oh, okay.
A number of years ago in the fall, we went up and did a little section of one of the trails there to hike.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like off Winston Churchill Boulevard.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I was like, where is that? What is that? Yeah. Nope. I know exactly where you're talking about now.
All right. I don't know how long that campground's been gone from there. Probably 25 or 30 years. I sometimes go online and try to find maps of these old campgrounds just because I think it's really interesting to look and see what they were like back in the day and if you could go there and find where the campground used to be, because I don't remember.
Okay, I may be able to help you with that, Sue, because there are ways to look at historical satellite imagery, like
okay.
way back.
Yeah. Because
that's actually something like that consultants do for me to tell me the history of the sites.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And it's so cool because it's not just maps. Pictures.
Oh yeah,
that'd be
yeah.
a really cool. Just like project, like something. There's a project in here, ladies. I am.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's, so
did I bring my notebook? Because I legit want to write that down.
So when we camped there, you know, your signpost where your permit goes on. Back in the day, every one of those posts had a garbage can on it, and you put your garbage in there, and you would see the raccoons sort of at dusk time. All marching towards all the different signposts and climbing up and all their butts sticking out of the top of the garbage can. So it's like, wow, back in the day. And they would come and pick them up every day, like a garbage truck came through.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not every night, though, when they should have been picking them up.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So, the raccoons were a special memory. So.
That is special. So unlike you guys, my first camping memories are a lot clearer and a lot longer because I had them a lot later in life. So, yeah, my first camping trip was backcountry on the French River.
Talk about, like, yeah, being thrown right into it, right?
Yeah, and talk about hating it when I came out. Because I totally, okay, we were, how many girls? I was a camper, and it was our out trip. And we were attempting to do the French River to Georgian Bay, but we got stuck behind rapids.
Well, Dulles Rapids, it's called, I think.
There's a double set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
We got past the portage on one, and the next was supposed to be a walkover. And we watched, because it had rained so much and the water had risen so much, we watched a group try to canoe over it. Lost everybody bailed.
Ooh.
We also had a leaky canoe, which we tried to sink between the rapids.
I remember you telling me that, and I was like...
And it didn't work, so we then had to remove the rocks from the canoe. And get this, 14-year-old, like, 100-pound soaking wet Steph was one of the strongest swimmers in the group. So I was holding the canoe with one of the leaders while one of the other leaders was going underwater to get them. Yeah, it was bad. Out of 10 girls, 8 of us were on our period.
What camp was this?
Pinecrest. So,
note to self, don't send your kids there. If it's even around.
I mean, it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, we are going to have an episode about summer camp and things like that. And there are silly things because it's kids taking care of kids. But at the same time, like,
We were 14 and 15, and our leaders were 16 and 17.
Yeah.
But like, that was us on the French River. Like, come on, that's crazy.
I don't want this story or even what I said or anything to deter people from sending their kids to summer camp, because it is amazing and they are really responsible at the end of the day.
Oh,
but
yeah,
like, there are these moments of judgment that are teenage judgment, like sinking the canoe, or I don't have one coming to memory at the moment, but I am sure anybody that has gone to camp with me is like, yeah, Allison, you definitely have had those moments too.
Well, after trying to sink the canoe, we ultimately just let the canoe go down the river, had to turn back up the river, stop at someone's cottage, call the camp, tell them to pick us up somewhere else.
It was a different part of the French River that we're thinking about then.
Oh, yeah. It was a trip. So you would never have guessed the way I left that camping trip that I would be almost 20 years later doing a podcast about camping and how much I love it.
But it just shows you that that wasn't necessarily as bad an experience. Now.
Oh, I should have valued it a lot more at the time. But yeah, that is my... It'll always be my first camping trip.
I mean, it's a story. Like, it's not, again, we just heard my first camping memory of snippets of a green color.
Like, yeah, it's true. Like I said, I got a bit more to go with it. It's not necessarily a good thing. Okay, enough about our first camping memories. Let's, Sue, why don't you pull our next camping question out of the cooler? These are going to get out of hand. Next two have also been selected.
Okay. What is your favorite camping or hiking memory? I bet it's not the French River.
God, no. This one was tough to answer, but it's got to be for me the first year we got the rocks at Grundy.
Oh, the ones in Balsam?
Yeah. When we finally got a waterfront site and I learned what camping, how good camping really could be, where you wake up at the water.
Yeah, say it's 8:38 and 8:39 at Grundy, yeah.
Yeah, it was, and I stayed for 10 days. So that is my favorite camping memory.
We also had good weather.
Yes, like, the weather
was beautiful. It was
fabulous.
The perfect summer.
Sunsets
camping,
like every day, gorgeous.
Those sunsets were incredible that year, yeah.
Yeah, so that's mine. That's me.
Mine would be camping in Killarney, the very first backcountry trip we did in Killarney. We stayed on David Lake, and from there you could just do, you know, a few hours hike, but up Silver Peak. And so the gang of us that all went on that first year, everybody went. But Victor, he said, I'll stay back and collect firewood. That was code for, I'm going to take my Therm-a-Rest out onto the rocks and have a nap out there. but it was a fabulous day hike going up there. It was hot. It was beautiful. And he did make us all tuna sandwiches because that was lunch that day. He made lunch for when we came back from our hike. So that was a great memory.
Oh,
and a great memory of the first time that we went on this backcountry trip as adults.
I was going to say, how long ago was that? Because you guys have been doing that trip for years.
I think it was 2002, because I believe last year was our 20th anniversary of doing our backcountry trips with the gang. So,
nice.
Yeah. Wow.
We got a lot of years to go to catch up to that.
So mine is actually last summer.
Why? Did something happen?
Oh, yeah. What happened? So we were up at Grundy Lake camping. Ryan, Bear the cat, not Bear, Bear. Bear the cat and I, and we got up there Sunday night. So Monday we got up and it was a nice, beautiful, sunny day. We decided we were going to go for a hike. Very buggy in general that day. Like, it was just, so we were fully bug geared out, like bug jackets, all that loveliness. We did Pakishkeg Lake Trail, which really, I mean, it's a walk. It's not a hike. It's like, exactly.
But it's new.
I was going to say, but they've newly officially opened it as a hiking trail, as a biking, multi-use trail, I think.
Yep. It's their only biking, actual biking trail in Grundy.
Well, and that's what we did on it for years. Like, I remember 20 years ago biking on that trail and things. So you get down to the end and it gets to Pakishkeg Lake and it's really beautiful, pretty. I have Bear. We're just kind of walking around and I turned around and Ryan was on one knee and asked me to marry him.
Aww.
So we got, it was incredible. I do remember what he said, but it was just, you know, it's all a flurry of blur of just happy and love and excitement. And then that night he made us like a really nice dinner and we had a nice bottle of champagne and just kind of watched a movie because it was absolutely downpouring rain that night. Like, we were completely in the shelter. There was no ability for a campfire. So that's why we watched a movie. And then, yeah, it was really nice. And then everybody started coming up because it was our big Grundy weekend coming up. Ryan and I were there the week before. So it was like, my mom came up. My brother and Mara, I was going to say you got there, my dad got there, other friends, like just lots, it was, you know, lots of people to be able to celebrate with and be excited with too. And it was very special because it was in, you know, a place that had a lot of meaning for me as a kid and it was somewhere that was meaningful to him and I. And yeah, so by far, favorite camping memory.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay, next one. Out is a cooler. Okay. In your opinion, what is the most overrated park? And I think we'll keep it within Ontario provincial parks. Because I feel like conservation areas and things like that, you could, we're not going that way. Private campgrounds, like that's just a whole different ballgame. So Ontario provincial parks.
Most overrated.
I found this one really hard because I think the ones that are really popular and highly rated generally are that for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know. We one July long weekend stayed at Emily Provincial Park and it's on, I think it's the Pigeon River.
It's a river. Yeah.
My memory is it was weedy and yucky for swimming and not one that's ever been on my list of, oh, I would go back to. Whereas, mm-hmm. as you guys know, I've camped at a lot of parks and just done one night at them. And there's a list of those that, yeah, those are ones I want to go back to. Emily. Yeah, but I don't know whether people rate that highly or not. My other one, and forgive me, everybody, or everybody forgive me, is the Pinery. Pinery is beautiful, yes. It's so big and so busy that, you know, it's just, it's not something that draws me back to it particularly. Although we've done many trips there. And if that was sort of what worked for everybody else, I'd be, sure, fine, I'm good going there. It's not one that I generally pick out as one I'm going to head right to. So
I would probably agree. And I was going to say, you know what I think is actually even more overrated than that is, and everybody might kill me for this one, is Killbear. It's the same kind of competition to get into sites and like, what are you getting? That's any different than any other Georgian Bay campground besides the proximity to Parry Sound, which.
Well, the Killbear's got a pretty killer sand beach too, though.
I think I agree with both of them, just from sheer, because of the popularity of it, that takes away from the experience of the park, which then makes the experience feel like not as good as you were expecting. So it was overrated then as a park. Totally agree with both of those for that, I think. And my other thought was more on a personal, like, between us, which are our ones do we like and which ones are overrated? I know I always... Six Mile, like, is so overrated. In our own just like personal campfire committee world, like, it's so
I must that was close to being on my list. We've been there. Oh well, went with you guys when you were evacuated from Grundy, and I must say they were fabulous about letting me book the sites and do all that. When we were there last year and we went canoeing, the lake is just so busy. Once you get away from the park a little bit, the lake is just so busy with boat traffic.
Yeah.
And in fact, there was an accident. I think the weekend you might have been there.
Yes, there was. Yeah.
Where the canoeist got hit by the float plane?
Yes. Yes. And
The canoeist actually jumped out. So the canoe got hit by the float plane.
No, there was. I can totally agree with that because actually last year would have been the first year I ventured outside of just right near the campground in a boat because my friend's father-in-law came up with his fishing boat. So we went out
and could actually explore.
Yeah. And it was so busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, so busy. But again, like you're saying about Emily, like, I don't know if I think that 6 miles actually overrated. I think most people, like, I know what you're going when you get there, right? Like, you right. know it's going to be right. a busy, it's yeah. like going to a busy cottage lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's more like a cottaging campground to me than the proximity to the city and the fact that the lake is warm is why I overrate it.
Are you pulling out of the cooler now?
I have. What is something that you always bring but almost never use?
Like the first aid kit I bring and I hope not to use, so it's always good when I don't need to use it in general. I think
I had a hard time with this because if I take something once and don't use it, it's scratched off the gear list and it's never thought of again. That being said, I think the one thing we've taken is in the backcountry an air horn and bear bangers, and we've never used them. So that's probably a good thing, though.
Yeah, yeah. Same with the first aid kit. Yeah, this is a tough one because, like, what do I have always that I never use? Or what do I typically bring that I never use? It's stuff that you don't want to have to use, but you want to have in case. But, like, something
That's exactly what it is. It's, like, because I have a bunch of things that live in the camping, like, equipment. Or
yeah, like, extra poncho. I never want to have to wear my extra poncho because I hope I have my good raincoat. But if I forgot it or someone else forgot it.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's, like, I have a bug net in there, like, that, like, could be hung up if just need outdoor bug-free space and for whatever reason forgot the walls. Who knows, right? Yeah. Just things that live in the bin and never come out, but don't necessarily get used because they're there for the in case needed.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, is if you're backcountry camping, you're supposed to take a spare paddle. And if we're going kayaking in the backcountry as well, we take a spare paddle with us. Again, that's something you take that you never use, but it's something that you have to
always
take.
Always have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so, but that it would be so we're pretty good then at not bringing extra stuff is basically what we're saying.
Yeah, I'm sure Ryan has a different opinion to my answer than what I said. I'm sure he's like, why do you bring all this stuff? You don't use it. And I'm like, yes, I do.
Well, you do end up using most of the stuff. Yeah. Or you, especially when you guys are packing into not huge vehicles, you kind of say, okay, my space is at a premium. And if I'm not going to use this, okay, I take it on two trips with me and then it's cut. It's done.
Mm-hmm. So. It's true.
Yeah. All right, next. that was easy.
Is that me? So, what are three things that you think people forget most often?
Okay, I got some funny answers for this one because we've experienced this with a couple of different men. Pants. Why don't guys bring pants on trips? Like, only shorts, and then it's 10 degrees, and they got their socks hiked up to their knees pretending they're not cold. Pants, okay? That was my number one thing that people usually forget. Maybe not usually, but whatever.
I was saying people, men.
Yeah, men. The other one, I think people forget their manners when they're camping.
Yeah.
Big time. And they forget that they're visiting. Like that they are a visitor to a protected natural area. And they come in and they don't give a crap.
Very insightful.
Yeah, I totally chose to take this question differently.
Yeah.
No, but it's so true. Yeah.
Because, yeah, I couldn't think of things that people usually forget because I usually bring a ridiculous amount of stuff.
Well, yeah.
Hence the question before, right?
Yeah, right? So
I think going along, my answer went not at all the same answer because yours was much more, insightful and prophetic. but I think garbage or recycling bags, the number of times that you just see people leaving stuff around or they just have them in little shopping bags and they have a bunch, like, just forgetting bringing garbage and recycling bags so you can actually properly have all of that and throw it out. I think that's that and a clothesline I see as being things that are forgotten. I mean, if you just have rope, you should have a clothesline, but like,
yeah, but then take it down and take it with you because that's forgotten to take it
actually
home,
that's
right?
True, that's more of what it is.
Oh.
Yeah, forget to bring the garbage bags, forget to bring home the clothesline.
Yeah, I got a clothesline that way.
Yeah.
Found one on the site, nice elastic one.
Oh yeah, backcountry, that's true.
So, you know, Allison was referring to when we had this property up on Georgian Bay and we had a small travel trailer there. Forgot to take the keys one time.
Oh no.
Got up there and was able to sort of, you know, dig in at the edge of the screen of the door and push the little window open and get my hand in. But yeah, forgot the keys. That has never happened since we've had the pop-up trailer because there's a spare set of keys in the vehicle. Always. Full set. All the locks, the trailer, the tongue lock, all of those. Never going to forget those. So
yeah, never going to forget those.
But you do it once and you know, right?
Yeah, I know about keys. And I'm making sure you got two of those because I have left. I said it in an episode in season one.
Oh, you did at 6 Mile Lake.
I left my keys in a bail bucket when we went out on the lake. And then Jonathan and I, my brother and I, left the bail bucket on the shore. When we came back, the bail bucket wasn't there. We sat at the campground and waited for all the canoes that were set to come back and checked every single bail bucket. We actually had to visit the campground the next weekend to go get my keys because they didn't come back till the next day. So yeah, spare. If I hadn't had my spare set of keys with Allison, I would have had to wait at the campground.
So that's actually, people forget a spare set of keys.
Yes, the spares, right?
Yes, forget the spares, yeah.
And I even go, like, you know, when I go out off on my own on my little adventures, I always take two sets of keys. Because if one gets lost somewhere, there's going to be another one in the car. You know, CAA might have to come and open the car for me, but there'll be a spare set of keys in the
car. I usually keep them somewhere outside of my car. Allison and I usually, if we're camping together with our cars,
trade each other
immediately. Yeah. Yeah. I'd rather go to her house to get my keys than to the camp. That's what I've learned since. than to the campground. But I try to keep one outside of the vehicle, whether it's in my fanny pack that like comes with me everywhere, or is always hanging on my chair, like, then I know there's one outside of the vehicle. Because, yeah, we've seen also keys locked in and had to call CAA for that.
Yes, yeah.
Is that the guy that forgot his pants?
We're seeing, like, a little bit of a theme there.
Yeah, let's not even go down that road.
All right. Carrying on.
All right, next set of the cooler, ladies. Okay. Okay, so we did overrated. In your opinion, what is the most underrated park?
There are definitely a lot of underrated parks, and they're probably the ones that are more than like 6 hours away from the GTA.
Yes, yep. I would 100% agree with you.
Like Fairbank, I wanted to go to Killarney so bad. Landed at Fairbank, was so happy to find Fairbank. Picked White Lake just because of where it was en route. Loved White Lake, would go back in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Like so many of those. Along, what is that, Highway 17? Knees. What else is there? Rainbow Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Pancake Bay, Batchewana Bay. Like you
Chutes. But Chutes has become pretty popular. I think it used to just be a stop on your way north. You know, when I was a kid, we would stop in whatever the little town is there. What is that town? Massey? Whatever. You know, on our way to Sault Ste. Marie, because we went every summer, we would stop there. That would be our afternoon break. And you'd see the sign for the park there. But it was like, well, you never stopped because, you know, it was like the day's odyssey to get to Sault Ste. Marie. But if you're going farther, that's a good overnight spot. But I think it's become more of a destination spot as the more southern Ontario parks are getting fuller.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, where did we even book this year to go farther for Labor Day?
Restool.
Yeah. Because we were like, let's go. Let's just push a little farther to avoid. Yeah, we know we'll hit crazy bad traffic coming back on the Monday. But if you're going away for Labor Day and coming back on the Monday, you're going to hit that traffic regardless. So we just decided to pick somewhere where we'll hopefully get less crowded of a campground.
Oh, we'll have to talk later about where it is because we're going there in July with our canoe gang.
Oh, fun.
So we'll have to talk later about sites.
All right.
So,
yes.
The one I picked as being an underrated park is Rondeau Provincial Park, which is on Lake Erie. It's the second oldest provincial park, only to Algonquin. And it's huge. People go there and you can cycle all the way down to the beach at the one end. There's the visitor center there. And right outside the front gate is a store with an LCBO outlet and a bar called Rondeau Joe's, which apparently has great food. So that's one that I think is underrated because I find generally people tend to go, oh, Lake Erie. And really, I don't see why, because it's as beautiful as any of the other Great Lakes. So,
yeah. I had a hard time with this one, too, because I do think it is a lot of those further north ones that I also haven't ventured to, like, as much, or at least since I was a kid, that I don't have the memories of them the same way to kind of be like, oh, as an adult, this is an underrated place. But I was thinking Samuel de Champlain. Like, I think going that way is also underrated in general. People tend to go north, but I also think going east is generally underrated. And it was thinking about Samuel de Champlain that had me thinking about that as well.
Yeah. And if you go going farther along Highway 17 towards Ottawa, Driftwood Provincial Park is one that I don't think people in the city – it certainly is very popular with people in the Ottawa area. But people from Toronto kind of go like, where? You're going where?
Yeah, once I saw photos of that, Driftwood is up there.
Yeah.
On my places I'd like to go and see. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. But it was just a little lower because I had some higher ones higher up personally. But yeah. Driftwood is one. It'll have to be a long weekend because of the distance. That's the thing. Yeah. We only have so many long weekends. You can only go so far so many times.
Right.
So we'll hit Restuhl Driftwood next year. It's me again.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Out of the cooler comes the next question.
Is that the ice that you're digging through?
Dry ice. What was your best camping experience? We just got that. I have to think again.
Celebrating my 60 and my 60th birthday at Bronte Creek at Thanksgiving 2020. With all my family and staff.
Yeah, because I always just
all
show up.
There. It was so special to be able to celebrate that with everybody. That's one of my best memories ever.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was a fun trip.
That was a fun trip.
And there's another park that gets dumped on, right? People don't like it.
I was totally on my underrated list too. I don't know why.
Bronte, yeah. Because especially too, you want to be close to the city, but you want to camp. Bronte.
Like, literally, you're in Oakville. You're in Burlington. Like, it's...
From the time we got on the Queen Elizabeth at the end of that Thanksgiving weekend till we pulled off here, off the 427, 18 minutes.
I mean...
Like, you can't beat that.
No. No, unless you move up north.
Yeah. No, it's true. And the thing is, once you're actually in the campground, like, you don't feel like you're right in the city. Like, yes, at night you can hear the highway, but... When you're up north, you can often hear the highway anyways.
And the trains. You might have had lights from a few houses, but really.
I was going to say, the only thing was when you, that trail. But that's a trail that takes you quite close to the houses. It's not the campgrounds.
I mean, and the campground road goes by houses. But also then, yes, you don't go there for swimming. You're not going there for the beach. But we went there and stayed there when we were doing some Bruce Trail hiking. Because it was like, why? Like, instead of driving home, let's go camping. It's also just that perfect spot to just be able to go. I mean, really, if you were really hardcore, you could just be like, I'm going to go camp there for a weeknight. I'll be at work tomorrow. I would add that to underrated for sure as well. But best camping experience, I think the trip out west in 2000.
Yeah.
I mean, that was... We went from Toronto to Vancouver Island and back. I mean, Sue drove most of that way because I was the oldest child at 13.
Yes, I really couldn't let her drive.
No, yeah. Dan was 9 and Mike was 6. And my dad flew and met us in
Calgary.
We spent 2 weeks out there or a week out there. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Two and a bit through Alberta and BC and out to Vancouver Island. And it's funny, I looked up yesterday. We stayed at a place in Vancouver Island. It was an RV resort. And I actually looked up our itinerary to see what it was. Because one of my good memories, again, was when we stayed there, like we were the tent trailer and with all the big RVs and there was sewage and hydro and water and everything. That part of it wasn't necessarily our thing. But you could go take wood down to the beach and have your campfire down on the beach.
Oh, that is cool.
And that was really, really cool.
See, and it's like, I don't remember. Like, it's just interesting the things that we remember from that trip. I don't remember that. I do remember in Alberta chasing, like, the bunny rabbits that were all in a field at a private campground. Like, there was just an entire field. I kid you not, like, there had to have been 100 bunny rabbits.
There's a reason why they say. And, like, you do it like bunnies.
Yeah. Like, that and, like, just... going whitewater rafting at Jasper National Park. Yeah. Like, just, oh, that whole trip in and of itself. Even when my dad flew and Harry Potter, like, bought Dan the fourth Harry Potter book at the airport because it had just come out. And Dan, like, read it through the Rocky Mountains. Like, so even that's just, like, a part of the memory, right? Like, yeah. Like, yeah. All of that. So I'd say that was the best camping experience overall of, like, from top to bottom.
Well, and it's interesting doing that because I was doing this solo drive to Calgary with a tent trailer and three kids. And we had a few little bumps to get started. You know, I killed the battery with the electric cooler at a hotel in Sault Ste. Marie, and we got blocked in, and I was in tears, and Victor was going, no, no, you're good. You can keep going. But, you know, so there was bumpy moments in that. Mm-hmm. But overall, you know, it was like, okay, we're going to skip camping because it's a torrential downpour, and we're going to go to Saskatoon, and I'm going to find us a hotel that has a water slide.
Was right about the water slide. Yes. I thought we talked about that, and I was like, I may have made up the water slide. No. I know there was a pool, but there was a water slide.
Water slide, okay. Yes. And I could sit and watch them while they were in the pool. We had pizza at the side of the pool, and I had a bottle of wine there. But it took us, I don't know, 8 hours or 10 hours of driving to get to that point. It was like, okay, we can do this, but it's going to be a long time sitting in the car. There'll be a pool, there'll be pizza, but I don't want to hear, are we there yet? And they weren't. They were fabulous. So it was really just a good family memory.
That's so nice. So my best camping experience, I might have said my best as my favorite, but probably the best was pulling in at Sleeping Giant and having 5 days there with perfect weather, except for the last afternoon.
And wasn't you had the waterfront site?
Yeah, I was going to say, we pulled in to the site. Well, first we pulled around the giant hole that was being dug right beside our site when we arrived.
Oh.
There had been a water pipe burst there, so there was also no water on the point. No big. I had seen that was the case, so we actually brought our water jug filled from the previous campground, so we had some water. But yeah, when we pulled in and arrived, that view, it was just the site and the giant. So that's got to be the best.
We're going to take a pause here and we'll pick this up in the next episode.
Too many good questions with Camper Sue. Join us again next week for another episode of Outside and Fireside.
That's a wrap on another episode. Thanks for listening.
Don't forget to like and subscribe to the Campfire Committee, Outside and Fireside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Remember to share this episode with others to help us expand the Campfire Committee community and pass on the love of camping and the great outdoors.
For more, check out our website, thecampfirecommittee.com, and find us on social media at The Campfire Committee.
And join our Facebook group, a place where you can share your favorite memories, places, and ideas when it comes to all things camping. Also, let us know what camping or outdoors topics you want to hear more about in future episodes, your camping stories, and any other feedback you've got.
Join us next time, Outside and Fireside.
And until then, this campfire has ended.
Before we go, we'd like to thank Sue Logan, better known around here as Camper Sue, for her endless camping knowledge, support, and experience.
And Stephen Pavan, our all-in-one editing team. We couldn't do this without either of you.
And to all the extended members of the Campfire Committee, thank you.
All sound effects that are not our own are from thedevo.net.
Music from Epidemic Sound. For more details on all episodes, see our show notes.